Revelation chapter number 19 tonight. We're down to verse number 11. We're talking about, in the doctrine of Christ, the future ministry of our Lord. And I'm not sure which doctrine we're going to be approaching next, but we still got a couple more on the doctrine of Christ. And we've been to the marriage supper now of the Lamb. I'll say a little bit more about that after a while. But we're going to begin reading tonight in verse number 11. And put yourself in John's shoes for just a moment. John is exiled on the Isle of Patmos. They think they've done him dirty. We got rid of him. He did. They didn't know it, but they done him a favor. He got out there where he could have that personal encounter with the Lord of glory. Amen. And he said, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Sometimes I think we just read these verses, but man, you need to just stop and think about what John saw. Amen. The heaven opened, and here comes Jesus. Amen. He's the leader of the pack. Amen. Ain't no nuclear bombs. Ain't no jets. Amen. Ain't no hand grenades. Amen. And out of his mouth, our Lord Jesus, goes a sharp two-edged sword. We just, as far as I can tell, we just get to witness it. I mean, listen, it'd be good for us right now to realize that to get the work of God done, we need him. Amen. We need him. The Bible said here, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress in the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you'll pray with me a moment tonight, I'd like to speak to you on this subject. The King is coming. Amen. Father, thank you tonight for our people. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit-filled singing tonight. Both the congregational, Lord, I'm glad we have victory in Jesus. It's more than just a song, Lord. It's the truth. You said, thanks be to God, Paul did, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help us to be a help to these precious people that have taken time out in the midweek service, our Father, to come. Some are tired, some are exhausted, but they're here tonight. And I pray you'll bless them for their efforts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want you to think about several things tonight. If I can get through this, I'd like to. But I want you to think about, first of all, the beauty. The Word of God said here, it's teaching us about the coming of Christ in glory. I guess I need to back up in case there's someone that hasn't been taught this. But this is different than when Christ comes for the church. In this coming, Jesus is coming with the church, or you could say the church is coming with Jesus. That would probably be more accurate. But in the rapture, Jesus is coming for the church, and he's not going to land on the Mount of Olives, amen, in the rapture. He's going to appear in the eastern sky, and we're going to meet him, just like that dream that I had, amen, just ascending towards the Lord. And But this is after that 7 years of great tribulation that's coming upon the earth. I remember one time talking about that period of time when the people are going to run to the rocks and the mountains and cry, fall on us and hide us from the face of God. People are going to want to die and they can't die. That's what the Word of God said. It's going to be a terrible, terrible time. And yet, after I preached that message, somebody at the back door said, preacher, where are you going to be when all that's going on? I had one word for him: gone. Hallelujah. Amen. Gone. Amen. Gone to be with Jesus. I went to a funeral a little while back, and in the top of the casket lid, there was a lady there. She had lost her husband, and it had doves, or I think it was doves, like flying. You would probably know, Brother Greg, and it said, going home. And I told that lady, she was sitting there, and that was her husband in the casket. I said, you know, that ain't exactly right. And as it come out of my mouth, it come out of hers. Gone home. Because when he breathed his last breath, amen, in an instant, in a moment, amen, I'm telling you, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That going home, I tell you, it ain't going to be like that. It's just going to be 1 minute you're here and the next minute you're gone. And if we're alive when Jesus comes, that's the way it's going to be for us. Amen. 1 minute we'll be here in this life and the next minute we'll be gone. I want you to see several things in the beauty that John is looking at here. First of all, the beauty of faithfulness. I'll tell you something. I believe God. The Bible said here, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. How many's walked with the Lord long enough to know he's faithful? Amen. He's faithful. And I thank God for that. And he's true. Amen. I used to tell the prisoners, I served the old devil for a long time. He'll lie to you. Amen. He'll tell you every lie in the book. But I've got a master now that'll never lie to me. Amen. He can't lie, the Bible said. And his faithfulness is beautiful. And then the Word of God talks about eyes as a flame of fire here. And I read this and I thought it was good. Why are they like flames of fire? They discern the secrets of all hearts. Think about that tonight. Over and over in the Gospels, Jesus could tell them what they're thinking before they ever spit it out of their mouth. Did you know Jesus can do that? He knows the very thoughts and the very intents of our heart. Amen. He knows what we need even before we ask. But he said, ask and you shall receive. And there are no secrets here that Christ does not see. There's no lewd thought. There's no unbelieving skepticism that Christ does not read. There's no hypocrisy, no formalism, no deceit that he does not scan as easily as a man reads the pages in a book. Our God knows tonight the very heart of man. He knows what's in man. His eyes are like a flame of fire to read us through and through and know us to our inmost soul. Now, you know what blows my mind? He knows all that. And he still loves me. Amen. He still helps me. He still blesses me. Amen. I said one time to a group of people, I said, you know, if I knew whatever one of you is thinking, we wouldn't let you be a member of this church. I said, well, guess what? If you knew what I was thinking, you wouldn't let me be the pastor either. We serve a God of grace. Somebody say amen right there. A forgiving God. Amen. A gracious God. And then the Bible said on his head were many crowns. And that Greek word for crown here, where we get our word diadem. There's just an A on the end of diadem in that Greek. And it's a crown of royalty. It's a crown of authority. It's not a crown of achievement. Beloved, it's just stating who he is. Amen. That you heard the song, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Amen. You know what I believe? I believe it pleases God to do that before we get there. Crown him Lord in our lives. Amen. Give him the throne in our heart. Amen. And the Word of God is talking about here the beauty of his faithfulness. And then there's the beauty of fulfillment. John said, I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. A lot of people don't believe this stuff. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if God would have said a red horse, I'd have just believed a red horse. Amen. But a white horse, this is going to be a beautiful, beautiful picture. But not only do we see the beauty of faithfulness, but we see the beauty of fulfillment. Listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 64 and verse 1. He said, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causes the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries. Guess what's going to happen right here, buddy? I'm telling you, he's going to make his name known to his adversaries. John said, I saw the heavens open. The scripture in Isaiah is being fulfilled. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down. That's what's happening right here before our eyes. And I think it's wonderful when you study the Bible, listen, to see the pictures being fulfilled, the promises being fulfilled. Let me just say this. Every promise of God has either already been fulfilled, or you can mark this down. It will be fulfilled. Amen. This is future here, the future ministry of Christ when the church comes back with him. There's not only the beauty of faithfulness and the beauty of fulfillment, but there's the beauty of faith. You know, the Bible said in Matthew 23:39, for I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You realize at this time, beloved, that the Jews have come through that tribulation hour. Amen. Out of every kindred, nation, people, and tongue. And there's going to be Jews, beloved, in this tribulation hour. And the Word of God is telling us about that faith. They've been pressed by the terrible persecution that's come upon them, by the Antichrist. But Israel as a whole, I said Israel as a whole. Listen, don't you buy into this replacement theory. The church ain't took the place of Israel. Amen. Israel is still the apple of God's eye. Amen. And beloved, listen, God said if we'll bless them, he'll bless us. Amen. Curse them. Isn't it a shame in America, people running up and down our streets that ain't got enough sense to blow their nose, amen? And I'm telling you, putting that people that God loves down, blindness in part, has happened to Israel till the fullness of the Gentiles come in. That's what's happening right here. And the Word of God, let me read you the verses. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And the Word of God said, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, for there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall take away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant. Let me tell you something. When God makes a covenant, you can mark her down. Amen. Amen. Boy, I remember the days of old, even as a kid. My dad wouldn't have known what a contract was if you put it in front of him. But my dad could shake hands with a man, and I'm telling you, it was a done deal. Amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, when God says something in his word, it's a done deal. He's made a covenant with his people, and he's coming back. Now, not only the king is coming, I see the beauty. Lord have mercy, the time's getting away from me. But anyway, I don't only see the beauty, but I see something else here. I see the blood. Notice what the Word of God said here in the first part of verse number 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. There's two schools of thought here. And I'm not sure which one's right. Is this his own blood? Or is this the blood of his enemies? I'm not going to argue either point. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you how God spoke to my heart. When we get through and get into eternity, we ain't never going to forget the blood. You can mark her down. Amen. It's still the blood that saves from sin. If Jesus hadn't went to Calvary and died for you and I, we would still be lost in our sin. We should never forget the Christ. We should never forget the cost that we can be called children of God. And we should never forget the conflict. Even in the end, beloved, the evil is rearing its head against the Lord Jesus, against truth, against His people, even in the end. One thing that blew my mind, we haven't gotten there yet, but after the 1,000 years, can you imagine living on the earth 1,000 years? Jesus is ruling. He's reigning. Lions are laying down with lambs. You don't have to worry about getting snake bit. Amen. And living under that rule for 1,000 years. I remember when God showed me there's still a people that the devil's going to go around and gather up an army against Christ. Did you know that? Can you imagine, amen? Can you just imagine living under His rule, under His reign, and then rebelling once again? I believe we sometimes don't know the power of sin. Amen. And the power of deceit. Now there's something else that caught my attention as I studied this. The King is coming. John sees His beauty. John sees the blood. But then there's something else that you and I need to see as well. That's the book. Amen. Watch what the Word of God said here. The Bible said He was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. I tell you, I do not believe there's near enough emphasis put on the Bible in these days that we live in. These youngins in these months, this year, are going to memorize more Scripture than a lot of adults are going to memorize. Did you hear me? I'm not fussing at you. Amen. I'm going to tell the young people this. Matthew, he's over teaching tonight. You can tell him likely. Amen. I'm telling you, while you're young, you better hide this book in your heart. Amen. Amen. Because I tell you, the older you get, the harder it gets. Somebody help me. Amen. I'm looking at you, Brother Billy. Amen. Amen. But I'm going to tell you tonight, the Word of God, in the end, the Bible said His name is called the Word of God. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now listen, you don't have to agree with me tonight, but I make a statement. I don't believe we'll ever be any closer to God than we are to this book. Did you hear what I said? If this book is neglected, then our Father is neglected. Our Lord Jesus is neglected. The Holy Ghost is neglected. Amen. The Trinity is neglected. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, you start neglecting them and you end up in trouble just like David did. Amen. You can say whatever you want to, but that morning when David got up, and then that afternoon he got off his bed and looked down there. He hadn't been in the book. He hadn't been praying. Amen. He hadn't been thinking about the blood sacrifice. Amen. You won't convince me of that. He wasn't in the battle. You get these things, you get this book out of place in your life. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You set yourself up. Amen. You set yourself up. I remember one time taking a group of teenagers. I've done it here, I believe. I know I did it at Cedar View Christian School. Hannah and them might remember it if I did it here. But I set a bunch of mouse traps in the floor. And I blindfolded a teenager. It might have been my daughter. It has to be somebody you can trust. And what I mean is it could hurt you. I'm not talking about mouse traps. I'm talking about them rat traps. Amen. Break a toe. Get them to take their shoes off. Blindfold them. You say, why do you blindfold them, preacher? Because the devil hides his traps. He don't just put them out there where you can see them. Amen. And so what they'll do, they'll listen to me and I'll tell them to take a little bit of a step to the right. Come forward. Go left. I'll walk them right through all those traps. You know who will walk us right through all those traps? The precious old Word of God. Amen. If we don't follow the Word of God, we'll fall in the devil's trap every time. Amen. I'm telling you, that's what happens to a lot of marriages. That's what happens to a lot of young people. That's what happens. Listen, you can say marriages, and that used to mean trouble in the young people's home. Honey, there's many seniors getting divorced anymore as anybody else. It's a crying shame. Amen. But listen, the book. His name is called the Word of God. Well, how many of you all tonight, in your own heart and in your own mind, listen, could use a little bit more faith? How many could? Okay. Faith cometh by And hearing by? The Word of God. Amen. So if we want an increase. And by the way, this is interesting. The disciples walked with Jesus. They saw the miracles. They saw Him feed the multitudes. They saw Him heal the lame and heal the sick and raise the dead. They saw Jesus, beloved, listen, do all that. And there was two things that they requested. Anybody know what they were? Teach us to pray and increase our faith. Two things that they requested of the Lord Jesus. I believe those requests would be healthy for every child of God. Lord, teach us to pray. As John also, not teach us how to pray, teach us to pray. Amen. As John also taught his disciples. And increase our faith that we might please the Lord, because it's faith that pleases God. The next thing I saw in the text, I saw the King is coming. I see the beauty of it, the blood, the book. But notice number three, this would be number four. Notice the brethren. What's the Bible say in verse number 14? And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if they're going to have a saddle on them or not. When I was little, Daddy got us a pony. And Daddy told me, he said, you got to make sure that pony ain't blowed up when you tighten that. How many's ever had that experience? Amen. And I thought, oh, I got this. I tightened that saddle up and I jumped up on that pony and I started out through there and that saddle went whoop. And I was riding upside down. And the bad part was he was headed for a barbed wire fence. I said, he's going to jump that fence and just leave me hanging. Amen. He ran over at the fence and stopped. I don't know what these horses are going to look like. Don't know if they got saddle, but I believe it's going to be one more sight when all of God's people come out of heaven behind Jesus. Amen. On that white horse. And what a blessed day that's going to be. You remember the brethren, beloved. Listen, I'm going to tell you something tonight. I read this afternoon. This spoke to my heart. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. Why? Anybody know the rest? For we be brethren. Amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you, when we ride out of heaven, there's no such thing as jealousy. There's no such thing as envy. There's no such thing as strife. Amen. Ain't that going to be a blessing? Say amen. We're going to have that glorified body. I don't know what that horse looks like, but I'm looking forward to going to a ride. Amen. And that one's going to be able to fly. Amen. What a blessing. The brethren. And then notice the battle, if you will. In verse number 11, in the second part, the Bible said, and in righteousness He doth judge and make war. Drop down to verse number 15. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. I want you to see this tonight. The Bible said here, and He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and armies gathered together to make war against Him that sat on the horse and against His army. If I'm understanding this right, as we look at this battle that's going on here, Jesus is going to take care of the enemy. By the way, that'd be a good lesson for us to learn. Michael the archangel, the Word of God said, durst not bring a railing accusation against the devil. But he said, the Lord rebuke thee. Even Jesus Christ in the flesh, our Lord and our Savior, when the devil took Him up into that high mountain, you remember that, to tempt Him. Jesus never tried to take him on. You can read it three times. It is written. It is written. It is written. I personally believe the sword that's going out of his mouth, I mean, you could see or think about different things, but this is where I get this from. You say, how in the world could you defeat an army with a sword? I believe it's his word. I won't be dogmatic about that, but I'll tell you this. When they come to arrest him in the garden, he spoke and they fell backwards. Amen. I'm telling you, there's power in his voice. Amen. There's power in his word. Amen. And I don't know what he's saying, but whatever he's saying is slaying them. Amen. It's slaying the enemy. And I see here this battle, and then it talks about the supper of the great God. You know, in Luke chapter 14, I won't take time to read it tonight, but you see the supper of salvation alluded to in that parable. And then you have the Lord's Supper that is for the Christian. Amen. Communion, a time of confession, a time of communion, a time of examination of our own heart. And then we've already talked about the marriage of the Lamb, but there's one more supper, the supper of the great God. Listen to this. If you reject the first supper, the second supper will mean nothing to you. Then you will not be present at the third supper, but you will be present at the fourth supper. Think about that. Say amen. I'm glad, thank God, I've been to Calvary. Amen. And because I've been to Calvary, I can partake of the Lord's Supper. Amen. And because I've been to Calvary, I'll be present at the marriage of the Lamb. What a day that's going to be. I read this and I thought it was worthy of repeating tonight. Any view of God which eliminates judgment, listen to this, and his hatred of sin in the interest of a doctrine of sentimental affection finds no support whatsoever in this book. None. That's the way the world wants to view the Lord. Amen. The lovey-dovey, the merciful. And listen, he'll have mercy on those that will come to him for mercy. But honey, let me tell you something right now. There's judgment coming. I'm telling you, there's judgment coming. I bring this up because it's hard for some people to believe. But when Jesus went in that temple and they made his father's house a den of thieves, a lot of people cannot see that side of Jesus. He threw the tables over. He made a scourge of small cords. And honey, he didn't get up and give a speech and say, would y'all please leave? The word of God said he drove them out of the temple. Amen. And I'm telling you, that's going to be a picnic compared to what's going on this day right here in the word of God. An absolute picnic. So we see that beauty in this king is coming. We see the blood. We see the book. We see the brethren. We see the battle. And then in closing tonight, just a couple more things. There's the beast. The Bible said here, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And let me just say this tonight. Let's bring it into modern day events. Don't it look like that you'd learn better? You get your nuclear things 100 feet, hundreds of feet below the ground, and we fly over there. Don't it look like you'd say, that's enough? It looks like it, don't it? Amen. And you come to the negotiation table, and the first thing you say, we got enough uranium. Is there a brain between somebody's ears? I'm telling you, the hatred of our God is real. And beloved, I'm telling you this tonight, beloved, you'd think in the end right here, you would think people would have learned their lesson. But the hatred, the insanity of sin, they're defeated over and over and over, and yet they proceed. Amen. I'll say this tonight. I think it needs to be said. It's the grace of God. I'm on the right side of this. I was blind, but now I see. I can't take any credit, amen. I got to give credit where it goes, to the Lord, amen. The Bible said the beast was taken, and him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, them that worshipped his image. I'm telling you, beloved, You say, Pastor, I don't know why you get so excited. Well, let me tell you. I had one person tell me one time, you act like you're excited. You act like you're happy. I'm not acting. I've already read the last chapter in the last book. And if you are a born-again child of God, if you have put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're on the winning side. Amen? We win! I'm not waiting to see. You watch a football game, you got to wait to see. I'll tell you what I hate. I hate to be wanting to watch a game that I've DVR'd, and you're going home, and you got the radio on, and they tell you're with me, Angie Fowler. They tell you the score, and tell you one dang gone, that just messed it all up. Amen. But I tell you what, in this battle right here, I'm glad I know who wins. Amen. You can't lose with Jesus. You can't lose. I'm going to tell you, I heard a preacher say this, and I think it's true. In life, we may lose a battle every once in a while, but we win the war. Amen. We win the war. And then there's the brimstone. In closing, the Bible said in verse 20, the second part of it, these both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls of the air filled with their flesh. The lake of fire is what we would normally consider hell. It's real. And there's nothing more important in life than avoiding it. Than avoiding the lake of fire. One day the battle will be over and the war will be won forever. I know tonight, I think I heard someone say a while ago, I can't remember now if it was here or elsewhere, a lot of people are just kind of tore out of the frame and what's going on. But I'm going to tell you something, honey. Things are shaping up. I think I wrote it in a devotion this week somewhere that really, if you know your Bible and you watch the news, we're seeing it fulfilled right before our eyes. Amen. And what a blessing that is. A group of academics, and I'll leave you with this, and historians, they compiled this startling information. Since 3600 B.C., the world has known only 292 years of peace. During this period, there have been 14,351 wars, large and small, in which 3.64 billion people have been killed. The value of property destroyed is equal to a golden belt. Listen to this. Around the world, 97.2 miles wide and 33 feet thick. That's the property, the value of the property that's been lost in war. There have also been 1,656 arms races, only 16 of which did not end in war. The remainder ended in the economic collapse of the countries involved. I'm glad I'm in this church. I didn't join. No, I was born. I had a new birth. This church, God's church, is going to heaven. Amen. One day after a while. Are you glad you come tonight? Thank you for praying for me. I mean that tonight.